Why bother with a dream? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Why bother with a dream? Why do we bother with our dreams? We all have dreams, and we have wishes, and we have wants, and we have desires, and we have hopes, and we have plans, and we desire things, and we'd like to be the president, we'd like to be a mommy or a daddy, and we'd like to have lots of money, we'd like to live in a lovely home, we'd like to have beautiful friends, we'd like to have a fantastic family, and we'd like to have a lovely summer home, we'd like to have opportunity to travel around the world, we'd like to go on tours and cruises and stuff like that. And why do we have all of these dreams? Why do we have all these desires? They're the most silly things in the world. You see, when you have desires, then you have something to get tired of. Because the minute you complete your desire, it's no longer exciting. And so all you're doing is living a life on expected excitement rather than on excitement. Now, to me, I think it's much more exciting to live a life where I am, every moment of my life, doing things that just delight me and make me very happy. I walk along the path, and sometimes I drag a little bit. And I say to myself, maybe I'll sit down and rest for a while. And then I say, hey, okay. This instant, I am vital, dynamic, alive. And I say, don't I wish, you know. I say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And I say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And then I begin picking up my chin and out with my chest and back with my shoulders. And I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm walking along. I am not thinking about being tired. I'm not thinking about, you know, this is tough. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. Now, how did I do that? Only moments before, I was ready to just sit down right where I was and relax a moment, you know. And I was thinking, I should really put more benches around this path, you know. So this 4-mile path, we should have 4 benches, one at each corner, you know, as we go around, so I can sit at each corner with it if I want to, you know. I don't always want to. There are days that I get so excited about my walk, not the walk, but what I'm thinking about while I'm walking. And I'm walking and I'm thinking about all these beautiful ideas, these beautiful concepts and so on, and I don't realize, hey, the end of the path is here. And I've gone up the mountain, down the mountain, over the mountain, around the mountain, in the valley, here and there, and I don't even think about it. And it's done. It's done. Now here I am, 25 years old, just having the time of my life, running around there, and that's great. You say, well, if you were 25 years old, that's the way you should act. That's right. That's the way I feel, that's the way I am, that's the way I want to be. I will not walk around here with a crooked body. I went into the chiropractor 10 years ago, and he looked at my spine. He said, you're a little crooked, you know. And I said, well, straighten it. And he said, can't do it. And I said, okay. So my son was in an airplane accident, and he hurt his foot. And his doctor told him to hang upside down. And so he bought one of these hanger upside downers that you could buy, and then put your feet in there, and then you put it upside down, and then you hang it by your feet. And he said within 2 months, his ankle healed perfectly, and his leg is in perfect shape, not the leg, but the ankle part. Everything is in perfect shape because he put the bones all back in order. And then I read up on it, and I read that when you hang upside down, that all your spine, the spine bones, they all separate from each other easily and smoothly. And if you do this, say, 10 minutes a day or more, but not too excessively, but just 10 minutes through once, twice, three times a day, that in no time at all, your spine will readjust and it will rebalance. Well, now, I've been doing this for about a week. And I look in the mirror, and I see that I'm not leaning. I was always sitting in a chair, and I was always sort of going to the right, and, you know, continually going to the right on the chair. And I was thinking, why am I doing that? Why am I doing that? Well, it's because my spine was not exactly correct. So I bought a machine. And It was a $280 machine, and they had it on sale for $99. And I thought, well, can't go wrong on that. So I brought it home, and I put it in my kitchen along with the apartment house for my cats. And I got a three-story apartment house for cats in my kitchen. I mean, you know, that's really liking cats. And so then I put it there, and you know what my cats do? They jump on it, and they walk up to the top of it, and it tilts back. It's so well balanced. And so when I get in on it, I hook my feet in there with my normal shoes on, you know, my walking shoes on the path, and then I lay back, and I flutch, you know. I go right straight upside down, and I let my arms drop, but I really need to have a longer drop, because so I just fold them, and they're folded underneath me, and I'm hanging there. And so rather than to look at the clock and see how 10 minutes go by, I listen to one of my talks. And so I have my talks on there, and I'm listening to them, and they're awfully good, you know, they're really exciting talks. So I'm listening to these talks, and next thing you know, it's past 10 minutes, and I say, okay, enough. And I gently bring myself up to balance and bring my feet down. I do not have one sense of vertigo in my brain, in my head. No blood pressure. Let's hope we got blood pressure. No overload of blood in my head and so forth, you know, because there's not room for it, so we wouldn't be there. But I feel just great. And I sit there for a half a second while I take my feet out of the little holder, and then I get up. I don't feel unbalanced. I don't feel my feet are weak or dizzy or anything. I just feel fantastic, and I feel just great. And I didn't want to use it without having someone else there at first. And I thought, well, I'll test it a little bit. And I tested it, and I had nobody there, and it was real easy. And so then I made it a little better so that it would go a little more perfectly, and then it did. And so now I have to pull myself up a little bit because I got the balance so it would go all the way down. And if I had the balance just so it'd be like this instead of like this, I wouldn't have to have it so. But it's great, and I feel great. Now, here I am. I'm doing this exercise, and it's a very important, noble exercise. And I know it's doing tremendous things to my spine and to me, and I feel just so great. In fact, I've been sitting in my chairs now, not feeling like snuggling off to the right as I used to do. And I don't know whether that has anything or whether my mental attitude about it, but I think it's all a combination of those things. But every single moment that I'm doing something, I am happy. I'm involving myself in what I'm doing. I'm involving myself in how I'm thinking. I was adding a bunch of figures on my iPod and on my computer, on my iPod. And as I was doing this, I was making mistakes all the time. It wouldn't keep on. It would pop off and it would give me the wrong, and you can't correct it, you know. And so then you have to erase it, you know, you have to minus it next, and you got to remember what you minus and then what you put plus again. So I said, no, I won't do that. My adding machine happens to be this way. I got 47 figures here. So I'm going to just take each figure, add it, and put the subtotal down below. Then add it, put the subtotal down below, because the figures are all there. And so if I make a mistake any place, then I can just go back one unit. And it makes it very, very nice. So in the time that it took me to blow six times, I did the whole thing. And it was done. And I believe it was correct because, I mean, I know that I triple-checked what I was doing as I was doing it. So it was great. Now, I was having fun doing that. And when I got done, my figures told me that I expected it to be $1,000, but it was only $888. And I thought, my goodness, isn't that nice, you know? And so Mark had sent me $1,000 so that he could use my credit card while he's making a trip around the country. But I told him to send the card back so that I could take care of these details, which he did. And then he sent me $1,000 from from Canada for the sale of his airplane and bounced up the account. And he said, I expect I'll spend less than that for the trip. He expected that. And so I said, okay. So now it comes that he used it a little bit more at the end and it didn't get onto my credit card accounting. And the amount it didn't get onto the credit card accounting was something like $130. And I was supposed to pay him $132 or something like that. You know? I mean, now, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty close. That's right in the ballpark. So, you see, my life is all the fun. And I was talking to you today and telling you about Oprah Winfrey thinking she's maybe going to run for president and what the story of her life is in Business Week magazine here and how they're doing it and how in North Dakota the people, there's 20,000 people in this county and there's not enough money to keep up the 2,800 miles of highway. They can only keep up 20 miles of highway with their budget, and 220 miles of highway. And so they decided that they're going to bust up the blacktop road and just make it gravel. And it's much easier to take care of gravel. Just run your tractor over it and level it, you know. And so otherwise the roads are filled with potholes, and that's very undesirable. So, you see, people say, oh, my goodness, in this day and age, we shouldn't do that. We should be able to afford it. Why? Why? Do you know what would happen if they have a road that's made with gravel? You know what would happen? The speed limit, instead of being 70 miles an hour, is now going to be 45 or 50 miles an hour, because you can't drive much faster on those roads without creating a few little difficulties for yourself. And isn't that interesting?
Back to nature.
Back to nature, yeah. How they're causing themselves to rethink their philosophy. They're causing themselves to rethink their philosophy. Now, don't look at each other when somebody does this. And that's just great. Now, are you ready for that? You see, we got dreams. And every time we get a dream, then when we got the dream, then we give it away. Then we stop. Every time we got the dream, then we say, what's our next dream?
Yeah.
Our life should be one continuous dream that we're living every moment and finding it exciting and wonderful in everything we do. It's just like Nick Clegg over in London, in England, Great Britain. He was a good conservative assemblyman or councilman or whatever you call them, parliamentary guys. And pleasant-looking young fellow. Well, now here, the old guard, well-trained people who know how to be a prime minister very well, running for the job, he comes along and he brings out some very interesting new ideas, and he says, this is what I think we should do. And the people are already charismatically taken by him. He's doing his thing. He doesn't care. If he wins, fine. If he doesn't win, fine. But he just tells his philosophy, and he doesn't tell his philosophy to win votes. He tells his philosophy to tell who he is. He lives his dream the moment he speaks about it. Can you do that? Can you do that? Now, Sylvie went over to the house this morning to pick up the kittens, and that's her normal want, and that's beautiful. But Sylvia looked at the new house, the new apartment, and he saw all the kittens up in the upper level, in the third floor, all into the penthouse, just happy as can be. And she says, I couldn't take them away. They were just so happy. I didn't want to mess up their happy state. And I said, Sylvia, remember this. The cats are for us, for our enjoyment. You take them if you want to. If you don't want to, that's okay. Then leave them there. That's our enjoyment too. Mm-hmm. But if it's our enjoyment to take them, take them. Those cats love to, those cats are running around the house, running, having more fun, doing everything. And I reach down and grab them, pick them up one at a time, scruff the neck, put them in the arm. The minute I have them in my arm and I start snuggling them, they don't want to run anymore. They want to stay right there. They want to have me hold them forever, you know? Now, I would look at them running on the floor and I'd say, that's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't want to do anything else. And then I pick them up, put them in my arms, and they act as though they don't want to ever leave. And then I take them out of my arms one by one and put them in the penthouse, and then they say, what are you doing putting us up here? And so I put them up there, and then they look at me for a second, and then they run and jump in the house, and there's three windows, and each one of them jumps in a window. And I made big circle windows for the upper penthouse. So the penthouse is classy, real classy. And the circle windows are just big enough for a cat to slide in and out of. And they're having fun. Well, my whole life is just a joy. Just a joy. And that's the way it should be. That's just the way it should be. So, stop having dreams. Live your dreams. If you think it's fun to do something, go do it. If you think it's not fun to go do it, don't go do it. But just be yourself and have fun. The new Prime Minister of France, not France, is having an election for their whatever's, and Chancellor, the Prime Minister, or something. And this one guy is running, and he is a school teacher. And as a school teacher, he's a big clown. And he's a nice guy, but he's a big clown. And as a clown, one time in his class, the kids would not behave. And so he stood up before the class, and he dropped his pants. And immediately he got all their attention. And, of course, he was wearing a spandex swimming suit and so forth underneath there. He knew what he was doing. Uh-huh. But the thing is, he just shook their boat like nothing could. And he had their attention, and he had their support in everything he did. Now, interesting, isn't it?
Interesting, yeah.
Strange and wonderful things that are going on in this world, but we do it. Here, super citizen for president. Antanas Makas, who is running for president in Colombia election on May 30th, is dismissed as a clown by his opponents. Yet an April 26th poll puts the former math professor and mayor of Bogota in first place. Makas, 58, is known for his antics such as dressing as super citizen. His costume is heavy on the spandex to teach civic responsibility. He once silenced a room full of noisy students by dropping his pants. Behind the fun is serious politics. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez recently said that Makas' chief opponent, former Defense Minister Juan Morales Santos, could generate a war if elected. Makas said he respects Chavez. Makas is popular with the urban middle class, though clearly more is at play. He's a question mark, says political science professor Felipe Barreto, but the people like him. And there he is.
Yeah, he's so.
So, you see, be fun, be yourself, follow your dream.
Oh, now, that's cool.
He may be stupid, he may be an idiot, he may be crazy, but he does it for a reason. And the people love him. They know that there's more to that. They know there's more to that than just the outer appearance. Can you be yourself and have fun? Can you go and live in this world and do grand and wonderful things? You can. So go for it. The time is now. And be yourself and have fun. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah.